wasn't an evil man, that rich man. He didn't do anything particularly mean or cruel to the poor man at his gate. He just never noticed him. He was so caught up in what he was doing that he couldn't be distracted by the pitiful man who inhabited his space. Maybe he was just busy. Maybe he was just self-absorbed. Maybe those two things are interwoven. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, our sympathies are immediately drawn to Lazarus. He has had a life filled with pain and emptiness. Apparently, he has no family to care for him, or no family that does care for him. He has no way of feeding himself. And if that isn't enough, he's covered in sores. Dogs come and offer salve. Dogs are always good for comfort when none is to be found from fellow human beings. Lazarus' situation in life was so dire. So we're relieved to hear that he is redeemed in the afterlife, that his situation was fully turned around, and now he is in the lap of luxury, or better even, the bosom of Abraham. The rich man in this parable probably makes us a bit uncomfortable. We too may have overlooked someone in need. Phil Collins' song, Another Day of Paradise, serves as a modern version of this parable. The words are these. She calls out to the man on the street, "Sir, can you help me? It is cold and I have nowhere to sleep. Is there somewhere you can tell me?" He walks on. He doesn't look back. He pretends he can't hear her. Starts to whistle as he crosses the street. Seems embarrassed to be there. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. She calls out to the man on the street. He can see she's been crying. She's got blisters on the soles of her feet. She can't walk, but she's trying. Oh, think twice, because it's another day for you and me in paradise. Is it another day for you and me in paradise? Compared to the lifelong situation of Lazarus and the woman in Phil Collins' parable, our lives are in fact more closely associated with paradise than the other side of the chasm. Mother Teresa once said, "Loneliness is the greatest poverty." Certainly, she would have firsthand information on this. The lepers she spent her life with were total outcasts. They are unseen, as overlooked and ignored in their culture as Lazarus was in his. To be overlooked, to be ignored, to not be listened to or valued is to be in a very lonely place indeed. Perhaps it would have been easier for the rich man to provide food and even shelter for the man at his gate than it would have been for him to actually see Lazarus as a person, as someone created in the image of God. Perhaps that's the bigger sin. In the letter to Timothy, Paul's words, "Love of money is a root of all kinds of evil," has often been misquoted as, "Money is the root of all evil." Money is not the root of all evil. Money is often used for great good. The rich man in our parable is not condemned for being rich. He's condemned for being self-absorbed, for not paying attention to the people around him, especially the one in need at his gate. He had everything going for him. The world was his oyster. He He could not be distracted. He had to stay focused on his game. If he didn't, everything could fall apart. And fall apart it did, as he focused on what he could do, what he had accomplished, as he sought to maintain the lifestyle to which he had become accustomed. Again, as is so often the case in Scripture, the tables are turned upside down. What we think is the right progression is shown to be entirely wrong. If you work hard, you will be rewarded. If you sit by a gate and beg, you will get just what you deserve, which on our minds is probably very little. There's a man who comes by my office every week or so. His name is Thomas. He is hard to look at because he was shot in the face several years ago, and he wears the scars of that encounter forever. Each time he comes in, he carries hedge trimmers and clippers. He asks for work. He wants to be able to earn his keep, but there are so few opportunities. It is so much easier for me to write a check for Thomas so that he can buy some essential items like laundry detergent and soap. It's so much easier to write that check than for me to take time to get to know him and determine what his real needs are. My conversations with Thomas are always pleasant and also always kept to a very shallow, basic level. Most often, my goal is to have him out of my office as quickly as possible so that I can get on with more pertinent ministry issues like the budget or an upcoming agenda for a vestry meeting. One day, recently, Thomas asked me if he could call his wife in Ohio. Naturally, my immediate pastoral response was, "No! I can't let you make a long-distance phone call on the church's phone." Thomas, who had greater faith in me than I could possibly deserve, repeated, "Can I use your cell phone?" I flinched. Let a stranger use my cell phone to call Ohio? Why would I do that? Why would I not do that? I handed Thomas my cell phone and tried to leave the room to give him some privacy while at the same time guarding my treasured link to the world. He called his wife. A call that barely lasted 2 minutes. Absolutely no threat to my precious airtime. I wanted to say, call her back. Talk all you want. I'm sorry, I'm not who I want to be. God loves you, and I want to. But I didn't say that. I let him walk out. I made some progress that day, but not much. Thomas is still hard for me to look at. His face is scarred from an experience of life that I would rather not have enter my seemingly safe, fairly secure world. I am not unlike the rich man in our parable. Paying attention to those people and those issues that we want to ignore, those that we would want to remain invisible, demands that we move out of a place of comfort and security. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, An Altar in the World, includes in her practices the practice of paying attention. Her theological grounding is incarnational. Christ came as God in bodily human form. And each of us is created in that same image. In our baptismal vows, we promise to respect the dignity of every human being. It is very difficult to fulfill that promise if we don't even acknowledge the existence of every human being. If we ignore or overlook those at our gate, or those on our path, or those in our offices, or those in our homes. Mother Teresa was right. The greatest poverty is loneliness. And loneliness comes from being ignored and overlooked, from not being seen or heard. There is a great chasm, but the chasm can be overcome now. Paul urges us to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness. Included in that list, but not stated, is paying attention, listening, giving of ourselves, not just our riches, but ourselves. That which we value most, our time, our energy. Giving of ourselves to others who are also created in the image of God. Didn't Jesus say, "When you do this to the least of these, you do it for me"?